Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on this Monday. I'm Tim Wildman. Thank you for joining us, and got a lot to talk about today. Ed Vitagliano co-hosting with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Hi,
Fred.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
Well, again, we hope you had a wonderful Easter celebration yesterday and for the whole weekend, really, as Christians around the world remembered Good Friday all the way to the resurrection of Christ on Sunday. And we got, again, so much to talk about. Sadly, we all learned yesterday, at least I did, around lunchtime, of what had happened in Sri Lanka.
Yes, sir.
Fred, and we're going to talk about that this morning. I just read the news story after lunch yesterday. I was having a good day, as a lot of people were. And then I began to read what had happened to our fellow Christians.
Yes.
And I was just heartbroken, like a lot of people. Most people have heard, but for those who haven't, tell us what happened yesterday.
Well, several members of what authorities in Sri Lanka are saying, members of an Islamic terrorist group, a small terrorist group in that country. You had several suicide bombers. They walked into several churches, and no other way to say it, they blew themselves up and killed. The body count now is around 300, is what they're saying this morning. And even this morning, gentlemen, the authorities there discovered a van parked outside another church, and they basically blew that one up. Apparently, the bombs inside that van did not go off, or the fatalities would have been up. There is a state of emergency, obviously, there now, a curfew that's in place. But what authorities are saying this morning was kind of interesting, too, is this Islamic terrorist group in Sri Lanka is really small, and they figure they had help from outside larger terrorist groups. But there is no question, as I say, there's the people were gathered for Easter Sunday services, and this terrorist group, even though apparently there are reports this morning that Sri Lankan officials had been warned 2 or 3 weeks ago that something like this might happen. And according to the reports this morning, those warnings were ignored. But once again, it is a case that you have Islamic terrorism where they have no problem, a belief in their system that if they blow themselves up, they're going to get rewarded for this and take innocent lives with them.
Right. Sri Lanka is a country, it's an island off India.
Correct.
Off the coast of India.
Right. Yes.
So the people there, they look like Indians. I mean, they're the same.
Right.
But the religious affiliation there is mostly Buddhist, right?
Correct.
And then Muslims and then Christians.
Correct.
I think, and maybe some Hindus there too. But over 300 people dead. Now, keep in mind, folks, these are people going to church on Easter for the most part. Yes, there were some hotels hit that had Westerners as well. But, Ed, these were seven or eight, maybe it's up to eight, suicide bombers. That they had all coordinated it and mapped this out and planned to do this. This wasn't a political retaliation against a government or an organization based on injustices done to the people.
Right.
It's a civil war. Or they're getting back at somebody for some reason. So you have to ask yourself, what would motivate eight people to strap bombs to themselves, walk into churches and or hotels, and then detonate the bombs and blow themselves up, kill themselves? What? How do you process this?
Well, now the White House has called the acts despicable and senseless. And I understand what, obviously, I think everyone agrees it's despicable. In terms of senseless, I understand what the president, what the White House is getting across, and that is that most of us go, why? I don't think it's senseless in this respect. I think it's clear that it does make sense to certain people who are Muslims and who believe their religion tells them to kill the infidel, wherever he may be found.
Who's an infidel, though?
Anyone who's not a Muslim. And okay. If you're meeting in churches... Let me stop you here,
because okay. I think you're about to make a very important point. And I'm very observant myself, because I'm noticing you're about to make a very important part.
Right.
So I want some credit in okay. what you're about to say. And I don't need to crack jokes during this very serious time, but I want to point this out. I want people to listen up. Because, folks, what you're going to hear from even the White House to the mainstream media to psychologists and so forth, political pundits, what you're about to hear is the same mantra that they always use. Maybe it's because they don't know how to process it, but they're going to say these people had mental illnesses, or it's just crazy, or it's just senseless, or it's cowardice. These are the kind of words that are going to be used. And what Brother Ed is saying here is, it's not senseless. People don't just go wacky and blow themselves up. There is a reason they do this, and it's a religious reason. And this is what the media doesn't want to tell you about, because they don't know how to communicate that without, they think, offending Muslims around the world. So,
right.
Go ahead.
And tell us what I'm sure, and so let me just make the statement that we always try to make.
Yes.
There probably are peace-loving Muslims who I hope in the next several days will decry this activity. Okay, so we are talking about the jihadists who believe the teaching of Islam that says there are two houses in the world. This is just the way they... I guess the metaphor that's used by Islamic teaching. There is Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Islam, the house of Islam and the house of war.
Are those Arabic?
Those are Arabic terms to describe the fact that there are only two existences. There are those who have submitted to Allah and who believe that Muhammad is his prophet, and who are Muslims. Everyone else exists in what Islam calls the house of war. And what Islam teaches is that if you're a Muslim, you have the right to force submission to Allah and the teachings of Islam. And if people will not submit, you can kill them. Now, there are many Muslims who disagree. I want to be fair. Many Muslims say, well, you're saying one thing, and really what it means is trying to convert them. But these jihadists, they don't believe that. They believe the way Muhammad taught and the way Islam spread, which is you submit or else. And so this is not senseless from the perspective of these jihadists. They are saying, we don't want Christians in churches. On Easter, we know the churches will be filled. Since they are worshiping a false god, we have the right to kill them. So to your point, Tim, the news media doesn't want to say that because it gets too close to the line of saying Islam is not a religion of peace, it is a religion of violence, and they feel like that's not politically correct or
that's
fair.
That's why they really don't know how to process it. By they, I mean the media, because they see what was going on here, but they don't know how to distinguish between Islam and jihadi, a jihadist.
You know what it's similar to, in my opinion, when you have somebody, for whatever the reason, who is a mass murderer in the United States, obtains legal weapons in an illegal fashion, and they go on a shooting spree, like what happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the news media says, we don't know why he did this. He must be crazy, because they can't bring themselves to say this man was just evil. because that's not in their worldview.
Okay.
And so it's the same thing. They look for other explanations besides what's right in front of their face.
Right. And it would be, I could understand that if this were an aberration.
Right.
Or if this were a once a year event somewhere in the world and you go, well, this is just a cult, you know, maybe an extreme part of the Islamic religion that all major religions have their whacked out people, right?
Right.
Or their cults. But no, this is, folks, this goes on all around the world so often. I'm talking about Islamic Jihad, not to the scale that it happened in Sri Lanka where you have 300 dead. But you do have the jihadists are alive and well all around the world. There was an Islamic jihadist the other day in Washington, D.C., who the FBI busted. He had rented himself a U-Haul truck, and he was going to go out on the pier, I think it's what it's called, in the big hotel there in Maryland, right across from the Potomac from Washington, D.C., in Arlington, Virginia.
The harbor area.
The harbor area. Mm-hmm. And he was going to do, as they've done in Europe, the Islamic jihadists have, and that is get a truck and just start mowing down people who are walking with their families. But fortunately, thank the Lord, this guy was discovered, and he was prevented. They had blockades up there or something like that. He was thwarted. Mm-hmm. And then he was arrested. So it was a one-day news story, but it could have been an Islamic jihadi attack killing hundreds in Maryland, for example. Now, that kind of things, I'm telling you, goes on all around the world on a regular, almost daily basis. So you have to ask, but what the media won't, they can't bring themselves to ask. They'll drop the story at Islamic terrorist attack, okay? They don't do that with when a white supremacist attacks. When a white supremacist attacks, like they did in New Zealand and killed how many people in that mosque?
50, it was about 50.
Okay. Then they delve into what is the ideology of a white supremacist? This is why he kills people, because he thinks he is racially superior to these people and they deserve to die. They don't hold back. They don't say, okay. They don't say, okay, we can't use the expression white supremacist because that indicts all white people. They don't hold back. They say white supremacist, right? But when it comes to Islamic terrorism or jihad, they call them radical extremist.
Well, let me give you an example. I'm looking at a Yahoo News article linked from Drudge. And as you were talking, I scrolled through the article. Not one mention of Islam.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. Not one mention. It is the U.S. State Department warned of possible terrorist attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's second paragraph. Sunday's attack saw suicide bombers target churches and high-end hotels in the capital, Colombo. It's all terrorists. Terrorist groups continue plotting possible attacks in Sri Lanka. There's not one mention in this article of Islam.
Is that an AP article? Because that goes around the world.
This is AFP, but it's in Yahoo. That's overseas.
This is typical.
Yes.
This is typical. Now, had that been New Zealand, what happened there, they would be denouncing white supremacy.
Right.
Right? Because
they'd go right to the
ideology.
And they should. Right.
Okay. But we got, for every one white supremacist attack, we got 100 Islamic jihadi.
Christians are being murdered around the world. The only reason this one's on the front page is because it's almost 300 people
dead,
and it was on Easter.
And it was on, that's good. Otherwise, it's not even in the news.
Right.
But I just, if you want to know, why does the Western news media not want to cite the Islamic teaching about jihad as the motivation for these people? It makes the media look like fools, because you know what? Most people are discovering this. They're figuring this out, because you have to ask yourself, why would somebody strap a bomb to themselves and kill people they don't even know in a church service? What is that? What does that advance? What ideology, what political, what? You're dead now. Why? Because you go straight to paradise. Okay,
right.
You killed infidels. The religious teaching in Islam of jihad says, I go straight to paradise if I do that. That's my motivation.
Because it's part of, it's martyrdom in the war against infidels. I'm looking at some of the comments under this. The first comment said, so it was a Muslim terrorist attack, yeah, is one of the comments. And another one says, it's interesting to watch the Pope blame Christians for all their malicious actions, but anytime a Muslim does these horrendous acts, he does not make any negative statements.
The Pope?
Talking about the Pope. Mm-hmm. The Pope never criticizes Islam, but he'll blame Christians for global warming or something. I'm not picking on the Pope. Yeah. I'm just saying that this even
it's
flows
typical
into church reactions to it.
I think there's, you know, it's part of spiritual warfare. It's open season on biblical Christianity. Mm-hmm. It is. Everybody knows these are Islamic terrorists following the teaching of Muhammad. But it's being sanitized because, as I say, it's spiritual warfare. It's satanic. When it comes to Christians, somehow we have to minimize, even when they are killed en masse, we have to minimize this effort. Or we have to make sure that we don't blame another religion.
Right.
But if a person who identifies himself as a Christian carries something out, then all Christians are bad.
Imagine, for example, with what happened in New Zealand a few weeks back, where this white he was motivated by his white supremacy, right? Was that what I heard?
That's what I understand.
Okay, so he goes into this mosque and he kills these Muslims. Imagine if the news media then reported it this way. A radical extremist today attacked people inside a mosque. Mm. They didn't do that. They said white supremacists.
Right.
But when a Muslim jihadi does this, they don't want to say Muslim jihadi. They want to say radical extremist. I was disappointed, and maybe today the Secretary of State's office has modified their comments. I'm talking about our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who I admire, and I think he's doing a wonderful job. But their press release yesterday, and maybe they were waiting on some more facts to come out, to be fair, but they used the term radical extremist had attacked the churches in. And I wanted to say, a radical extremist does not tell us anything.
Extreme what?
What are they radical about?
Right.
Radical extremist. So the whole point of this is, if you'll watch, folks, the Western media, including a lot of conservative media, they'll try to, sanitize, maybe is not the right word, but they don't want to blame the real reason. They don't want to get to the bottom of the real reason this happens over and over and over and over and over and over again. By the way, in Nigeria, in the last few weeks.
Yes.
They've had Islamic murderers.
Fulani herdsmen, they call them, but they're Muslims.
They're like ISIS in Nigeria, and they're just butchering Christians by the thousands over there in Nigeria.
Right.
But you don't read about that much because if you have one white supremacist do something in, I don't know, Boise this afternoon, it's going to be all over the news for 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm talking about some perspective here, okay?
They run interference. People like Shepard Smith, even at Fox News, others, they run interference for the religion of Islam. And listen, again, I see nothing wrong with some of these people saying, all right, we don't know for a fact.
Right.
We do know that there are Muslims over here who are condemning this, saying this is not our religion. However, the government of Sri Lanka is saying this is a Muslim. They believe it's a Muslim terrorist group. I can't even pronounce the name of this group. That's who Sri Lanka is saying is responsible. Just be fair about this.
To your point, last week, the fire at Notre Dame.
Right. That was what I had.
There
in
was
mind.
An eyewitness who was being interviewed by Shepard Smith. He's an American. He's across the river there at a restaurant and saw the fire start. In the midst of responding to this, he said, by the way, there have been several incidents where churches in Paris have been attacked by Muslims. Shepard Smith almost went ballistic. Wait a minute. we don't want to make. He wasn't.
It was factual what the gentleman was saying.
Yes,
and he was shutting him down.
He shut him down right away.
You're not going to do that on my program.
Walker said Neil Cabuto did that to the guy from the Catholic League.
Yes,
well.
Donahue.
You know, you can't even have a thought. My first thought was, this sounds when Notre Dame was burning. It sounds like to me Islamic Jihad set a fire to a Christian church. I wonder if that's what happened. Guess what? Half the world is thinking the same thing.
Right.
At least wondering, could this be? Because it's happened.
And it's not.
You guys
want to
hear this?
It may not have.
Do you want to hear this, Shepard Smith?
Yeah. Maybe it was a wiring problem. Who knows?
Right.
But it's not unreasonable to think that the Islamic Jihad is, because they threatened it.
They've tried it.
Yeah. But what are we about to hear?
This is Shepard Smith's interview with the eyewitness last week to the Notre Dame fire.
Felipe Carcente is on the line with us, a French elected official who is in Paris now. Felipe, what have you seen and what do you know?
And you need to know that for the past years, we had churches desecrated each and every week in France, all over France. So, of course, you will hear the story about the political correctness, which will tell you that it's probably an accident.
Sir, we're not going to speculate here of the cause of something which we don't know. If you have observations, or you know something, we would love to hear it.
No, I'm just telling you something. What you need to be ready.
No, sir, we're not doing that here. Not now.
Okay.
Not on my watch.
Okay.
Felipe Carcente, it's very good of you to be here.
There you go.
So Shepard
Smith. That's disgraceful. Anything else, Shepard Smith, if he's talking about Donald Trump and the Mueller report, he's going to speculate all day long. The hypocrites in the media, including some on Fox, it's disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, we're not buying it. I don't know what Shepard Smith thinks. We're going to believe you're suddenly unbiased?
Right, I know. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, this story, I'm surprised, is the Sri Lanka are 300 people dead at churches on Easter Sunday by these Muslim jihadis, I guess is the best way to describe them.
Mm-hmm.
Eight suicide bombers, at least.
Mm-hmm.
This was plotted, planned.
The suspected group is called, I guess this is probably some sort of
attempt. It's an Al-Qaeda type.
National Tawhid Jamaath. I don't know how to pronounce it.
So we'll see if this story, this is a 9/11 for Sri Lanka and for, I mean, this is just.
But to your point, this has been going on in Nigeria and elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the Sudan. I mean, the only reason they can't ignore this is because of the numbers.
There'll be an attack this week in Europe. It's like the Islamic jihadi attacks are like, and in other news.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it happens so often
that
it's just, you expect it, you anticipate it. And you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. I'll take a break right here. When we get back, there is other news to talk about. We will discuss, continue our conversation here. But just watch out, because when the Islamic jihadis attack, you know, and these people, they want to be known for this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Western news media, including many in the American news media, just as we heard right there from Shepard Smith, they don't know how to deal with this, because they don't want to delve into the reasons why these people blow themselves up.
Then you got to make judgments. You got to say, if this is what Islam teaches, it's an evil religion.
Right.
And they don't want to do that.
And let's look at the Quran.
Yes.
Where does it say do this?
Right.
They don't want to go there.
Yes.
Because they don't know what to do with it once they get there. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, we're scheduled to hear from Sandy Rios, Fred Jackson, and Steve Jordahl.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
And it's day one of our spring share-a-thon, so there's no telling who else may drop by. We're standing in the gap for families and our nation's future, and we'd love to have you stand with us. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Reading, writing, and LGBT history. That story next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Lawmakers in Illinois are considering legislation that would make LGBT history lessons mandatory. House Bill 246 is called the Inclusive Curriculum Bill. Schools would be required to teach about the roles and contributions of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people. Mandatory for students K through 12. That's right, folks. Children as young as 5 years old. Supporters say it's important for students to know how gay people influenced world history. But critics say the classes are flat out indoctrinated. Even more concerning, parents would not be allowed to opt their children out of the lessons. State Representative Darren Bailey opposes the curriculum, wondering why it's important to know about the sexual orientation of historical figures. And it's a good point. Why do the kids need to know whether our founding fathers were straight or gay? I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. We're going to move on in the news. We've been talking for the last 25 minutes or so about the Sri Lanka massacre. 300-plus people dead. These were Christian people attending church services and other Westerners at hotels. And the Islamic Jihadi group there of eight suicide bombers murdered all these people. We were talking about why would somebody do this? How could you get eight people together to wear suicide jackets and bomb innocent people? Well, there's a teaching inside Islam. This is what the media doesn't want to talk about. There's a teaching, and obviously all Muslims don't subscribe to this, but it is a teaching nonetheless that has a lot of adherence inside Islam. It's a problem. And when you believe that if you commit an act of jihad, you go straight to paradise, and that's in your mind and in your soul, that's why they do this. These aren't crazy people. Please do not subscribe to that. I had a friend of mine three or four years ago. This was a very, very smart man, smarter than me. He would be, he'd what you'd be call a moderate, I guess. Moderate, he was conservative on some issues, but moderate to liberal. We knew each other. He was a friend of mine. And these things were happening on a regular basis like they are now, these Islamic jihadi attacks. And he couldn't bring himself to criticize the religion itself. He didn't think it came from there. He thought it was these people were mentally imbalanced. And I would say to him, think about what you're saying. Mentally, they're crazy. They're crazy people, basically, is what he was saying. He would tell me. I would say, so you're telling me you believe you can get all these people together, all these mentally crazy people together in one place for meetings and such, and they are able to carry out attacks, and they're all nuts. Do you hear what you're saying? You know what I'm saying? That's like saying the Nazis were all nuts.
Right.
No, they weren't. They were motivated by ideology.
Yes.
Same way with these people. They're motivated by ideology.
What did your friend say to it?
He kind of got stuck there because he knew what I was trapping him into.
Yeah, you don't go to
it was a self trap, really.
You don't go down to a mental institution,
right?
And I want to be careful. I'm not mocking. No. But you don't take the people out of their rooms and put them in the cafeteria and try to get them to agree on anything if they are mentally unstable, because they are incapable.
Right.
And you're saying if you're saying that these jihadists are how would they carry out these?
That's what a lot of people will say. If you'll listen today, when things like this happen, they'll say these people are just nuts. Well, now, I know what people mean when they say that, because it is nuts in the sense that it goes against conventional, normal behavior around the world, okay, that's common to man, I mean, civilization, if you will. Yeah. But you can't just stop there. You might say it's crazy, it's nuts, but we have to go into why are the reasons. And no, it's not nuts. They plan this out, and they have a political or a religious ideology, and they're acting on that. That's all we're saying. But with anything else, the liberal news media, even the conservative ones sometimes, will explore the ideology or the reasons behind why something happens. But with Islamic Jihad, they don't want to touch that. So they'll stop at, these are extremists. As you say, Ed, extremists about what? Please answer that question, Mr. Reporter. You're supposed to dig into this.
Right.
So anyway, we will see what happens. But the crime is just a crying tragedy, if you will, over 300 people are dead today.
And 500 wounded. I mean,
500 wounded by shrapnel and things like that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, Fred, go ahead.
Well, for the last 2 years, as our listeners are well aware, the Democrats and the mainstream media have been convinced that Robert Mueller, when he was through his investigation, would conclude what they wanted him to conclude, that there was collusion between the Russians and the Donald Trump campaign that helped him win the 2016 election. Well, Mueller issues his report last week, and guess what? No collusion. No proof whatsoever. So now what are they going to do? Well, the mainstream media and Democrats over the last several days, well, then there must have been obstruction somewhere along the way. Donald Trump wanted this investigation stopped. Well, of course he wanted it stopped because he knew there was no collusion. And he knew there were corrupt characters inside the Justice Department. Really interesting on the weekend.
And he didn't hide his feelings well.
Yeah, that's right. Really interesting on the weekend. Bob Woodward, Washington Post, famous reporter from Watergate, he and Carl Bernstein. Woodward is asked about the Mueller report. And so we got a couple of clips of him responding to this. Cut number 6, the general response from Bob Woodward, when asked to compare Watergate investigation, which he covered extensively.
Which brought down the administration of Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon versus what we have just seen with regards to Donald Trump and alleged collusion. Cut number 6.
The big conclusion, collusion is a bad word, no coordination between the Trump campaign and the Russians, that is a big deal and it's got to be faced. The question bubbling here is this Watergate? Is this Nixon? And the big missing element in all of this is money. In this case, you have no money paid by Trump or his associates.
So, yeah, that's what Woodward is saying, okay? There is no comparison with Watergate. Now,
and can I just interject one thing? We need to remember, too, that Bob Woodward, the famous reporter, along with Carl Bernstein, the Watergate, all that came out in the early 70s, he just wrote a book. Mm-hmm. He's not a Trump supporter, in other words. The book was called Fear, Trump in the White House. So this is a source that we're listening to that doesn't, as far as I can tell, does not like Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So we need to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Now, Woodward did say something very, very interesting. He notes, he's read through the Mueller report, 400 pages long. He notes that the CIA, in their submissions on this case, included the now defunct dossier, the Steele dossier, which was partially funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign. So the CIA make a submission to the Mueller report, which includes the dossier. Mueller, or this is early on in the investigation, Mueller says, this is a piece of garbage. Woodward, as you're going to hear here, says, okay, if Mueller concluded right away it was a piece of garbage, why did John Brennan, head of the CIA under Barack Obama, try to convince everybody there was credibility in this dossier? So this is cut number five.
The dossier, which really is got a lot of garbage in it, and Mueller found that to be the case, they actually put the dossier on page two in kind of a breakout box. I think it was the CIA pushing this. The idea that they would include something like that in one of the great stellar intelligence assessments, as Mueller also found out, is highly questionable.
So what is Woodward saying? Woodward is saying, I believe, there was political motivation on behalf of then CIA Director John Brennan to put this forward. We now know that the FBI, when they went to the FISA court, they used that dossier, but they did not tell the FISA court that this was a Hillary Clinton document.
Yeah.
Woodward is saying, who's no fan of Donald Trump,
right,
there's something really rotten here.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing. Many people, we're talking about the Mueller report that was, by the way, folks, all the attorneys who work for Robert Mueller in the special, do you call it special counsel, special prosecutor, or is it they interchangeable?
I think it's special counsel.
Okay, special counsel.
Because he's just
investigating. So, but they were notorious for their support of Hillary Clinton. I mean, these were people who basically had proven that they wanted Hillary to win and they did not want Donald Trump to win. So, and President Trump pointed that out many times. These are the lawyers that Robert Mueller hired to go after President Trump. So what you got going on here, if you're President Trump's point of view, you have I don't know what I was going to say. Excuse me. Let me back up just a minute. Okay, we all heard some of the salacious stuff over the weekend that was in this Bob Mueller report, which, by the way, that gentleman there, Bob Woodard, just pointed out, which is gratuitous and unnecessary, and only proves, as Mark Levin said last night on his show, that this report, a lot of it is just trying to smear President Trump. I remember hearing that President Trump used an expletive to describe this. You know, my presidency's over.
Yeah.
And then he used supposedly
Right.
Used a obscene word to describe it. Okay. Why is that in a report like this? Who did somebody tape this? Did they share? Did we even know that the president even said this?
Right.
For sure. This kind of a thing. And what's that doing in a report that's supposed to be impartial and supposed to present? I'm just saying, I think it was put in there so it could be a cherry-picked quote that would be put on the news media
right.
to make President Trump look bad.
And to make him look guilty.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
right.
we don't know, and I know what you're talking about. We can't say it. But
the word is a common obscenity used in pop culture today.
Right. So if you drop this, if you take this out of context, first of all, to all those other points, we don't know if he did say it. We don't know who heard
right.
him, if heard him correctly,
right.
what President Trump was talking about when he said it. But if you drop it into a discussion about his guilt
right.
and
right.
we should impeach him if you're
right.
Democrats, then you drop that quote and see, even he knew
right.
that if the truth came out,
right.
his presidency was over. Well, all of that is speculation.
Yeah.
And
right.
frankly, it's hearsay.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, salacious.
Yeah. So why couldn't you do this in a one pager or less? The special counsel's team spent 2 years investigating the Trump campaign and the Trump presidency. And we found no collusion with the Russians. And to interfere in the election of, interfere in the 2000, what was it, 14, 18, 16?
2016,
16
yeah.
elections. Forget what year it is. Time's just racing by. But, after 2 years, what, how many subpoenas did they issue? How many people did they investigate? How many witnesses did they interview?
How many millions did they spend?
My word. And you can't come up with something, a crime that the president, after all. And by the way, folks, let me add this to the discussion, because you won't hear this very, Shepard Smith probably won't talk about this. President Trump could have done some things that you might call obstruction of justice. Maybe not in a legal term, but you might use it in an analysis of a situation. President Trump never invoked executive privilege, and he could have, in this investigation that Robert Mueller conducted. I was reading where, guess what? President Obama did invoke executive privilege to thwart investigations. This is what I read. Now, in Fast and Furious, remember that?
Yep.
President Obama invoked executive privilege. And it's there for a reason. He can use it if he wants to. There was another scandal that President Obama invoked, but I've forgotten which one it was, invoked executive privilege as President of the United States or as Commander-in-Chief. Okay, so that does happen. Well, Donald Trump didn't do that. He did not use executive privilege to deny the special counsel's investigation anything. In fact, nor did President Trump keep any of his staff from cooperating or doing, interviews, or that's what you want to call them, with the special counsel's office. And he could have done that too. Now, true, President Trump did not sit down with Robert Mueller's team to do an interview because of potential entrapment or perjury charges. So he chose to do written responses to a lot of the questions that the special counsel's office put forward. And I think President Trump, a lot of them he would say he didn't remember, which is classic Hillary Clinton.
Right.
In that way, he just followed Hillary's template there.
Yeah.
For I don't remember anything. And that's Americans when they're caught, maybe when there's something that they've done wrong, they don't want to, they either plead the Fifth Amendment or they say, I don't recall, right?
Well, especially if you say, I do recall, and you got the facts wrong, then you wind up being charged for perjury.
Or your lawyer says, if you don't remember, you don't remember.
Right.
You're right. You may say, well, I remember, the question is this, I remember something happened that day, and so-and-so told me something but I don't remember what the end was, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to write down half a
right
an answer, and then you're trapped in a perjury charge.
Yeah.
Right? Because
then they'll say, we think you did remember, and right. You said something different.
Trump, and then they're going to say Trump lied.
Right.
See how this works? So they were trying to get him for 2 years, and they, with all they had going, all the money, the power, the lawyers, the subpoenas, the investigatory power that they had, they come up with nothing. And that's why I'm saying it could have been written on a one-page piece of paper. Quite frankly, a lot of this stuff, like we've been talking about, is only trying to make President Trump look bad in the eyes of the public. So you're listening to anything else on that, Fred?
Well, of course, the Democrats aren't giving up. They're meeting today. Nancy Pelosi is getting together.
I'm surprised at that.
I know. It's shocking.
In a strategy session. So here's a montage of Democrats talking about what they're likely to do next. And then you're going to hear a response from White House spokesman Sarah Sanders. Cut number one.
The fact of the matter is, I think that when you look at this report, you can see that there's enough information to move forward with impeachment on this president.
What is the best thing for the country? It may be that we undertake an impeachment nonetheless.
If proven, some of this would be impeachable, yes.
All right.
Obstruction of justice, if proven, would be impeachable.
If we did not win, possibly, if there were not impeachment, what is going to happen is that the president is going to be emboldened.
The country deserves better than what the Democrats are offering. They've become not just an embarrassment to their party, but an embarrassment for public service because they are not providing the service to which they were elected to actually fulfill.
The background noise there was the White House Easter egg hunt today. The voices you heard, Maxine Waters, little Adam Shifty, Gerald Nadler, and Elijah Cummings. Those were the Democrats.
The Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
of the brain
of something.
Yeah. Okay. So
there
the Mount
you have
Rushmore
it.
Of Trump hatred. Trump derangement
yes.
syndrome.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
If you had a Trump derangement syndrome Mount Rushmore, it would feature Maxine Waters and
Elijah Cummings. Jerry Nadler, Adam Schiff.
There you go. What'd you call him?
Little Adam Shifty.
Oh, is that what President Trump
I'm quoting. I'm quoting the president there.
Yeah.
Well, listen. You heard what they were saying. If proven, if proven obstruction of justice, you could charge the president with you could impeach him.
Yeah.
If proven,
That's true about a lot of things.
Go for it.
If you could prove that the president shot and killed someone in Russia, you could impeach him for that.
Yeah.
I think. Quite frankly, if I were advising the Democrats politically, and I probably won't be called upon, I would say it's a long shot. I would be called upon for advice. I would say, I would just say gently to them, gather round. I would say gather round, and I would look into their eyes, each one of them, Maxine, Jerry, Elijah, and what's the other one?
Adam.
And little Adam.
Little Adam.
Is that what you call him?
Little Adam Shifty.
No, that's what President Trump calls
him. That's what President Trump calls him. We're not calling him that.
No.
And I would say, gather around, and I would say, in the words of Elsa, let it go. Let it go. Let's sing together, can we? That great Disney song, Let It Go.
And they're going to insist. Some of these are going to insist. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I heard her this morning on Sandy Rios' show. You got that?
Oh, I've got. She's the ace in the hole for the Democrats.
Yes.
Watch out, boy. She's crafty. Cut number eight.
You could reach in a bag and pull so many things out that are impeachable of this president. I support impeaching this president.
Two and three.
I think two would be tax fraud. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much.
Okay, let me ask
like
you.
Like the census, the tax bill. It's like, what can, like, there's just so much.
Oh my goodness,
she may very well be very, very intelligent. And maybe putting on, okay? But she sounded like an airhead on that interview I'm sorry.
The census.
She was asked, "What are your top reasons?" And I didn't hear the first one. Yeah. She said, "Well, he asked, what about 2 and 3?" Because she said you can pull so many things out.
Yeah.
She said, "Well,
but that are impeachable."
That are impeachable. She said, "Oh, number two would be tax fraud. Number three would be, oh, I don't know,
the tax bill.
There's just so much." And then she said, "The census, the tax bill." And none of those things are impeachable.
No.
You can't impeach him for getting passed through Congress a tax cut.
That's classic. Let's hear that. Let's hear that hit again, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Up to number two in the survey this week. I'm Casey Kasem.
You could reach in a bag and pull so many things out that are impeachable of this president. I support impeaching this president.
2 and 3? 2 and 3.
I think 2 would be tax fraud. Mm-hmm. And number 3.
I don't know. Wrong color Easter eggs today?
I mean, there's just so much.
There's so much, I can't think of anything.
Let me ask
you. Like the census. I can't even. The tax bill. It's like, what can. Like, there's just so much.
Stop. Oh my goodness, her mama.
I can count to potato.
Her poor mama. I hope she ain't watching today.
And she's a rock star for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. But
the census,
they want a smart rock star and an articulate rock star. She may express general ideas that the quote progressives believe in. But if you're one of them, you're wanting to advance, you're saying, please, don't
not her,
don't do interviews anymore.
Right.
Just issue press releases, and if you want to have a speech where you're unquestioned,
yes,
do that kind of thing. But don't her. There are so many things to impeach now.
Yeah.
Her thing was tax fraud. Where did that come from? What is that about? Who's fraud?
Well, the census thing, all I can think census. Of is that she's talking about the fact that he wants to put on the census the question about legal and illegal immigration, right?
That's, that's impeachable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what she's saying. That's impeachable. And then she said the tax bill. Passed by Congress, signed by... If you start impeaching presidents because you don't like their legislation, we're done, pal. We're over. We're dog meat.
If I'm Nancy this morning, I'm calling...
Who's a smart lady. Nancy Pelosi is a smart, politically savvy
She has her own moments of inarticulation. Right. Like, for example, on Valentine's Day, wishing everybody happy Thanksgiving.
Did she do that?
Oh, yeah, she did that. You didn't know that?
No.
No, I'm serious. Now I think she's past her prime. I'm not saying she's not
past her expiration date.
I'm not saying Nancy Pelosi is not a smart lady.
Yes.
In a political sense.
She's very
smart. I'm just saying that
she's past her prime. That's awesome.
Do I need to say any more?
No. I understand.
I think she's past her prime. But she's still, you know, she can throw a curveball that get a swing and a miss every once in a while.
If you're going to go up against her and
use a sports metaphor.
Yeah. If you're going to go against her in a kind of debate, you better do your homework.
Exactly.
But AOC is no Nancy.
But I would call her in. If I was Nancy, Fred, I'm calling AOC in. I'm saying, let's watch this interview together that you just did.
Think you're helping the cause here?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
AOC doesn't care what Nancy thinks.
No, that's true.
That's the problem.
For Nancy Pelosi.
That's the problem. She is not going to be reined
that
in.
That only helps the Republicans and the president.
I mean, stop for a moment. She represents a district. She just cost that district 25,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's happy about it.
And she's happy about it.
She may be beat next time by somebody else because of that reason. Because she is not loved in New York for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what her standing is in her own district, but.
Nancy Pelosi said you could run a glass of water with a D on it in some of these districts, and a Democrat would win.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess she was calling AOC a glass of water.
Yes.
I think it's half empty.
Yes.
With
a big mouth on that glass.
All right. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of today's issues. Thank you, Fred.
All righty.
Stay with us, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.